It's Alum Group's Andrea Lay, PacFew's Melissa Burdick, live with me here in Connecticut, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Tree, and I'm PBSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 15th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them hubristically intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with Retail Wit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Melissa, kick us off.
Hey, Fresh Four listeners. Dollar General celebrates opening its 20,000th store. There you go, 20,000. U.S.-based discount retailer Dollar General has opened its 20,000th store, celebrating the occasion in Alice, Texas. The grand opening celebrations were attended by senior leaders and vendors. Dollar General Executive Vice President of Store Operations and Development, Steve Deckard, commented, "We believe each store provides a positive impact in our hometowns through convenient access to affordable essentials, career growth, opportunities for employees, and the ability for local nonprofits, schools, and libraries to advance through Dollar General Literacy Foundation grants." Dollar General also awarded $20,000 to support educational and tutoring programs through donations to a local library and community group, as well as providing new books to a local elementary school. Dollar General employs more than 17,500 Texas employees through its store, distribution center, and private fleet presence in the state. On to you, Sri.
Thank you, Melissa and Peter. Jessica Alba has actually stepped down as Chief Creative Officer of The Honest Company, a company she founded. So after nearly 12 years of the company, Alba shared the news in an Instagram post on Tuesday, April 9th. "It is with grateful heart that 12 years after founding The Honest Company, I'm stepping down from my leadership role as CCO. However, I will continue to provide strategic advice through my role on the board," Alba wrote. What's next, Peter?
Oreo reimagines ubiquitous internet menu icon to dole out discounts. Mondelez international brand Oreo has launched a commerce activation dubbed the Oreo menu that aims to re-envision the internet's ubiquitous three-line hamburger menu navigation tool as a two-stacked Oreo cookies. Key to the effort is a microsite where consumers can enter any tab or category name they see when clicking on the three-bar menu icon on the internet as a promo code to receive a deal for Oreo cookies that can be redeemed at Kroger as part of an exclusive partnership. The activation includes an explanatory video and is being driven by influencer content along with digital and social media to drive engagement. The effort follows Oreo's first Super Bowl ad in a decade earlier this year. Andrea, what do you have to close us out?
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Shein has copyright infringement baked into its business model. Shein is facing a class action lawsuit that alleges that the fast fashion company uses an industrial scale scheme of systematic digital copyright infringement against small designers and artists, according to court documents last week. Attorneys for the group of plaintiffs say that Shein uses sophisticated electronic systems that algorithmically scour the internet for popular works created by artists and misappropriates these works to manufacture and sell them as Shein products without attribution to the creators. The complaint is the latest in a series of copyright infringement lawsuits filed against the fast fashion giant, including an ongoing one from last year that claimed violation of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act.
Thank you, Andrea. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded.
This 200th episode of the CPG Guys podcast is sponsored by dunnhumby, the global leader in customer data science. Dunnhumby enables retailers and brands to increase revenue and profits by delivering exceptional data-driven experiences for their customers at scale, in-store, offline, and online. You can discover dunnhumby's latest innovations in retailer-supplier collaboration, retail media, pricing and promotions, customer insights, and more by visiting dunnhumby.com.
Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast.
Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this incredibly special episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, one of the aforementioned CPG guys. And when I'm not podcasting, I'm, of course, the Vice President of Partner Strategy and Development at Fetch Rewards, a mobile loyalty platform. Today, we are celebrating the release of our 200th episode. It is hard to believe that just a short 2 years ago, my friend and I were conceiving of this journey, and how it has transformed our lives is remarkable. And as I mentioned, my co-host joining me in co-hosting this incredible celebration is my BFF, my co-pilot, my ride or die on this journey to explore how brands and retailers engage consumers in a digitally driven world is the man with one name. Now, I'm not talking about Bono or Eminem or even Fabio. I'm talking about the Lord of Los Angeles, the man known as Sri. Sri, how you doing? You got your sparkling cider on ice, ready to celebrate here? What's going on?
The key is it's non-alcoholic. But
it is for both of us.
Episode 200, Peter. When we had this conversation in March 2020 that we should do a podcast, we pivoted from writing articles, making YouTube videos, just talking to each other, to an actual episode called Consumer Engagement in an Omnichannel World, to later that year, I think late that year, we came up with CPG Guys. Wow, I can't believe I'm 200 episodes deep in this world with you, Peter, and to 300 more episodes as we keep going.
Do you remember how we came up with our name? I remember it was literally the first words that came out of your mouth. Welcome to Exploring Consumer Engagement in Omnichannel World. And I thought, okay, that's what we'll name it. And then we kept saying it. It was like, well, it's a little bit long and it's a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, we got to find some. But you know, we settled on where we are today. And I'm so incredibly proud of the work that we've produced, the community that we fostered, Sri. Over 12,000 followers on LinkedIn. My goodness, have we created a group of people that are just so enthusiastic about educating themselves on this transformation that's come across our industry over the last couple of years.
Couple of things I'll point out, Peter. Not too shabby for a bunch of hacks, huh? And, you know,
hacks extraordinaire, Sri. Hacks extraordinaire.
200 episodes, I think, we're way past hacking this at this stage. And, you know, what comes to my top of mind is when we started this journey, we said we're going to do two things. One is we're going to learn a lot and listen to people, which we've played out to the bone. And the other thing we said we'll do is we'll share. And the objectives of the podcast have stayed remarkably consistent. And to the day, our objective is we learn, we share, we want to give back education. That's why we do this. A lot of people ask us, you guys have tough day jobs. You guys do other things. You have family, still have young kids. How do you do it all? We love what we do, which is we love to share.
Yeah. And I would add to that, Sri, that not only have we created a community of followers and listeners, but just among the podcasting industry, the relationships we've built and how we've fostered the creation of the FMCG guys, our friends, Daniel and a friend, Rob Gonzalez and Peter Crosby at Unpacking the Digital Shelf, Wendy Liebman at Future Shop, our friends at eFundamentals who created and produce the Digital Shelfcast. We're a very tight-knit community, and we're about raising each other up, not competing with each other and tearing each other down. And that I'm incredibly proud of, Sri.
And Peter, this is precisely the reason we share a list of must-listen podcasts, and there's so many on that must-listen, because we've had the opportunity to listen to those and learn from those podcasts ourselves. Again, the mission is learn and share, educate, so the mission's not going to change at this stage.
Well, Sri, I am, as I said when I opened, so incredibly grateful to be on this journey with you in particular. You are, you keep moving up my list of most important favorites on my phone. You know, you're like I'm not going to say where you are, but you're in the family zone. Let's just say that, my friend. You're right there, and I love you very much, and you and your family mean so much to me, as do you to my family. So really happy to be on this journey with you. Thank you.
Thank you to you too, Peter. For those watching the video, here are the ones pinned to mine, and you can see who's right up top on mine.
You're right up there on mine.
Read
too,
the name.
Man.
Read the name, please. Read the name.
I don't know who that is, Sri. I don't know who it is. But I can tell you, you're right there in the middle on the top for my
hey,
right there.
PBSB and Sri.
Yeah. We're inextricably linked. We don't just stay together for the kids, Sri. You know that. We kid about that. But thank you so much. And of course, it's a great year, 200. Our baseball teams are killing it on the field. There's so much to be thankful for. And I'm just so happy that I'm doing this with you, Sri. So I want to remind all our audience that our content now 200 episodes strong. You can find it by visiting cpgguys.com. You can find us on 40-plus platforms. You can find our social media accounts there as well, our LinkedIn profiles. And, of course, if you're not following us on LinkedIn, please open up your mobile app or go to a web browser, type in LinkedIn. When you get there in the search box, type in CPG Guys. You'll come to our page. If you haven't already done it, click the blue follow button. That way you're privy to all of the great content that we're producing. Of course, it's all free, right? So everyone can afford free. I think Sri will agree with me on that. And we're also incredibly proud on this journey to be partnered with Next Up, formerly known as Network of Executive Women, which has been rebranded. And in the middle of every Wednesday episode, we hide a little Easter egg with message about Next Up, some of the things that are happening and how you can participate in events and virtual or physical. And of course, our good friend, Sarah Alter, the president and CEO of Next Up, she's got her own podcast. It's called Advancing All Women. We've been guests on it recently. We think it's very well worth a listen. A lot of people from our industry appear on that podcast, not always talking about CPG stuff, but about things we deal with as professionals. So we highly recommend that you do that. We're honored to be allies in the cause for advancing all women. And of course, we want to thank, as I mentioned earlier, our 12,000 LinkedIn followers that just keeps growing and growing. So incredible. And of course, we mentioned earlier, our friends Efrain and Daniel, the FMCG guys, they're taking our format across the pond. They're talking with fast-moving consumer goods and retail thought leaders from a European perspective. So please go to fmcgguys.com. and check out their podcast. There was no question that for our big bicentennial episode, we required a celebrity caliber guest to match this momentous occasion. And Sri, we have delivered. He joined us for a conversation last year and has since established that episode as the most downloaded from among the 199 that we have published prior to today. Wow. You may have even seen his name in the lead spot of the top 10 episodes list we published on our LinkedIn page a few weeks ago. Last October, he joined Walmart as Chief Revenue Officer, overseeing three business units, Walmart Connect, where we have discussed numerous times on this podcast, most recently with Kara Russo, VP of Marketing, Walmart Data Ventures, which has commercial responsibility for Walmart Luminate, and of course, the Walmart Plus Consumer Membership Program. Please join Sri and me in welcoming back to the CPG Guys podcast, Seth Dallaire. Seth, how are you? Welcome back. How you doing, Seth?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And congratulations on making 200 episodes. It's awesome. And I'm flattered to be here and chosen as a guest again, a repeat guest even.
We are honored to have you back. And yeah, no one's more surprised about 200 episodes than the two of us. We thought we would have broken up long ago. And here we are, staying together, working through it. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
To be clear, we're staying together for the kids.
The kids. We only stay together for the kids. When are they going to college, Sri? We got to send them. It's going to be a while. But anyhow. Hey, Seth, before we get to the questions that we've prepared for you, you want to share with our audience an overview of your portfolio responsibilities as the Chief Revenue Officer at what my co-host would best describe as the world's most elite retailer?
Again, thanks for having me. In my role as Chief Revenue Officer at Walmart, I look after three pieces of business. The first one being Walmart Connect. And as you mentioned, Peter, that's been discussed on the program a couple of times. That's our retail media business and advertising business that many of your listeners are already pretty familiar with. I also have responsibility for data monetization, which is the Walmart Data Ventures business. And that is inclusive of the Walmart Luminate product suite. And then lastly, I also have a responsibility for membership. So that's the Walmart Plus program. And all of these businesses are like really exciting for me to lead. Some of them are relatively new for Walmart in terms of Walmart Plus and Data Ventures. Some of them are more mature, like Connect. All of them have a ton of opportunity for Walmart to grow and to help us do more for customers, but then also for our suppliers and advertiser customers as well.
Thanks for that, Seth. We're going to include hyperlinks in the digital liner notes of this episode to your LinkedIn profile and each of the sites for the three solutions that you mentioned. So that audience, you don't have to write them down. You don't have to Google them. Just go to the digital liner notes and you'll find a link to Walmart Luminate, to Walmart Connect, and of course, Walmart Plus. So with that, I want to say to our audience, before we get to the questions, we're going to ask Seth to answer two additional questions that you're not going to find in this podcast episode. So if you want to hear them after you're done listening to this, go to our LinkedIn page and look for the special In the Know post that'll be coming later on in the week that this episode is released. So the only place you're going to see him is there. It's our little after show. I think you'll find it interesting. They're different than the questions we're going to ask Seth in this session. So please do join us on LinkedIn. And while you're there, click the follow button. You got to follow us on LinkedIn. We're big. All right. So let's get to the question, shall we? I'll kick it off, Seth. One of your responsibilities at Walmart is for a group known as Walmart Data Ventures. Now, I know quite a number of the people in that group. We crossed paths professionally in the past. So I'm really excited to talk about this because we haven't spoken with anybody about this. While most people in the audience are not likely going to be familiar with the name of this group, vendors who are selling through Walmart have become familiar with the term Walmart Luminate, which is a customer-centric suite of data analytics and insights. So can you please double-click down and give us an overview of what Walmart Luminate is?
Sure. And you covered a bit of it at the high level there, Peter. It is a proprietary suite of products and capabilities, and it's proprietary to Walmart. And the purpose is to deliver actionable customer-centric insights and data to our merchants internally, but then also to our supplier partners to help them make better business decisions. So much of our business is conducted across these different channels. So the online piece of business, of course, e-com, but then also in-store. And being able to have data and insights that bridges the gap or helps suppliers and leaders understand how customers are shopping or how their products are being merchandised or sold and how successful they are relative to competitors or their performance on the shelf. Those things are really important. And they're areas of development for us at Walmart in terms of understanding them, making sure that we get them in the right place, and that we permission them in ways that are appropriate. And there's really three core capabilities within the Walmart Luminate product suite. The first one is the shopper behavior capability. And this is really what I would call the what, if you will. We have a what, a where, and a why component to the Luminate product suite. Shopper behavior is really the what. Shopper behavior capability enables our suppliers to drill down into profiles and behaviors that customers are exhibiting in their category and with their brands. And so suppliers will get access to a number of different detailed reports about loyalty, about switching, basket composition, substitutions, a whole host of really rich data signals that can help the supplier and brand manager understand how the Walmart customer is interacting with their brands? And then ultimately, how do we help them sell more stuff? How do we help them be more efficient? So that's the shopper behavior capability. The second capability that we have is called customer perception. Customer perception is what I would really classify as the why. Like, why are customers behaving certain ways? What are the attitudes they have towards particular brands or particular products? And the through customer perception, we're able to deliver to suppliers really robust panels of verified Walmart shoppers that can give feedback on demand to suppliers about their products or their brands. And through this tool, suppliers can facilitate really interesting and in-depth interviews and conduct user testing, concept testing for innovation products, and get real-time feedback. And this is at a level or scale where the panel size really benefits from the scale of Walmart's retail business at large. So it's a really exciting capability that we're bringing that we think is going to help brands understand more about why customers and consumers are responding to their products the way that they are, or ideally predict ways that they could improve response in the future. And then finally, there's channel performance. And this is really what I would consider the where of the product suite. So with channel performance, we're allowing brands to unlock insights into their performance across the digital shelf, the physical shelf. It'll allow the supplier to work on forecasting, understand things like market share or category share, and do it in a way that is specific to Walmart, where we observe these signals and provide them back to the supplier with high recency and low latency. So the three products, just to review, because I've said a lot, are the shopper behavior, which is the what, the customer perception, which is the why, and finally, channel performance, which is the where.
What can get better than that, Peter? What, why, where? That's like the answer we all seek as human beings to everything in life, right? So, and then some of the MVP words on this show: shopper behavior, customer perception, channel performance, and that too, the 360, bringing it together as omnichannel. If that's the type of answers we're going to get today, Peter, we're going to get to episode 500 soon. This is going to be a good podcast. So let me welcome. We're both honored and thankful and grateful, Seth, that you chose to join us and be our celebrity-like guest, as Peter has said, for the 200th episode of the CPG Guys. So thank you for that. And I'm going to continue with this thread of Walmart Luminate, because Luminate is a word that was born in the industry approximately a year and a half or so ago, maybe January, forget the exact time, but about a year and a half ago. And now consumer brands are starting to understand what Walmart Luminate is. And I think you've just articulated very clearly, it's the what, why, where of shop, omnichannel shopping. What matters most is the consumer at the end of the day. So I'd love to go back to your inspiration on the what, why, where. Like, what was the inspiration for standing up Walmart Luminate in the first place? And then we always like to look future forward on the CPG Guys. What's the future vision for it?
Well, I mean, historically, Walmart has had a ton of data about consumers. It could be transaction data, could be data about category share. It could be data about innovation, sampling. Much of this data, you know, existed in silos. Some of it still does. And so while I wasn't here at the origin or the launch of the data ventures team, I came shortly after. It is one of the things that got me most excited about joining Walmart in the first place, is that from my experience working in e-com and in retail, there's just no one that has as much scale or as much capability to help manufacturers or suppliers understand how their products are moving, how customers are responding to the products or the types of products that they may want in the future. Whether the company, Walmart, you know, had the ability to provide that type of insight in a way that a supplier or even internally that a merchant could use. I think you would find across Walmart that there's general agreement that we could do a better job there and bring more data forward in ways that would help suppliers operate more efficiently, which then helps us do more things for the customer. It helps us help them save money, save time, live better, which, you know, that's our mission. So the opportunity to work on that effort and to find the parts of the data signals across the business that are most valuable to suppliers was really exciting to me. And in my prior roles, I had some experience doing that and just saw how powerful it could be when suppliers had access to it. But the scale was much smaller than what Walmart could bring to market. And so now we're just starting to really bring these three capabilities forward. We've had a tremendous positive response to these products, and we're actually learning with suppliers as we're bringing these capabilities forward about all of the different ways that they're using the information. They're already making requests for more capability. It could be more capability from a measurement standpoint in terms of the types of signals they're seeing or the number of signals that they're seeing. And then also we're getting requests for very sophisticated delivery methods. So it could be, you know, can you give me this data in an API? Can you give me this data in some way that I can ingest it back into my enterprise in ways that reduce latency or increase the frequency with which we can see it? Because the one thing that's really been humbling for me coming over to Walmart is just the size of the business is so large. And the number of transactions that we have with consumers in the U.S. is just, it's staggering. I mean, as many as 90% of Americans have shopped at a Walmart in the past year. You know, weekly, we see over 100 million shoppers in the U.S. And at that type of scale, if you can provide some type of signal about what those shoppers are buying, how they're behaving in ways that suppliers can then use to inform their businesses and then help us, you know, provide everyday low prices and do great things for customers for their lives, then it's a pretty powerful and exciting team to help lead and bring to market. So the future of that is that we're going to try and meet all of the supplier-led demands is maybe not the right word, but supplier-led interest. Like, hey, can you help us understand this? Can you help us get these types of signals so that we can improve the way that we operate with Walmart? We're going to continue to do that. So these three capabilities are really just the beginning. The next couple of features that we bring forward will be heavily informed by suppliers and our existing subscribers to these data products. So it's really exciting. And for me as a retail media, I guess, pro, someone that's dedicated, you know, most of my career to retail media, the adjacency of these types of signals, even though they're not directly causal necessarily to retail media investment, having them available has the potential to not only improve the in-store experience and the e-com experience, but also make retail media investments more performant. So I'm really excited about not only bringing more capability to suppliers, but then also how is it that the data that we're bringing through Walmart Luminate or any other type of data product that we bring forward, how are they contributing to making retail media investments, whether they're in our .com or in the app or actually in the store itself, perform better?
Again, I just love that the focus of Walmart Luminate was built on day one to be omni-focused, that it includes, you know, what I feel is a powerful part of the equation, which is the in-store piece of this, because she's still very much in store browsing, shopping. The keyword is she's also browsing. And one of the things I'm sure the industry would love to know, especially brands would love to know, is who can get access to Walmart Luminate? What does Walmart really make visible to subscribing vendors all products in the category, which means they can get to share? And do you have to be a category captain in a certain category to get access, or can any vendor sign up for this and get access to the true omnichannel understanding of the where, why, what, as you described earlier?
Yeah, so subscribers to Walmart Luminate have access and visibility to all products within their category. And the category level insights that are available in those are the things that are available in shopper behavior. And all vendors in a category are able to subscribe to Walmart Luminate. They're not exclusive to the category captains.
So folks, you heard it here on the CPG guys, your share problems have been answered. You want to find out your omnichannel share. The keyword again is omnichannel share on Walmart. You heard it right here. All products in the category. You don't have to be a category captain. If you're doing business in that category with Walmart as a vendor, omnichannel, you can definitely get access to it should you choose to. Thank you for that, Seth.
All right. I think we have explored Walmart Luminate to a great degree. Let's shift to one of his other portfolio responsibilities. Seth, your responsibility also includes Walmart Plus, which was launched, if I do my math correctly, about 18 months ago. Would you please provide our audience with an overview of Walmart Plus from a consumer perspective? What is the core value proposition for subscription and membership?
Sure. So Walmart Plus is our membership program that includes free delivery from the store, free shipping from Walmart.com, as well as contactless checkout with Scan and Go. We offer Walmart Plus members early access to products like PS5 gaming consoles. Those have been really popular as part of our early access program. And then we're also including benefits that are third-party benefits. Like we recently launched a Spotify Premium 6-month membership for free for members. And then last week, we offered a fuel benefit in partnership with ExxonMobil, where we're offering Plus members up to 10 cents off every gallon of gas that they buy at 14,000 participating ExxonMobil stations nationwide, and Walmart and Murphy stations if you're buying gas at a Walmart or Murphy store. So that is a particularly timely benefit. Since last week, we've seen a significant uptake in terms of members' subscriptions and trials based on that benefit alone. The program itself costs $98 a year or $12.95 a month, and members save on average about $800 a year with free delivery from the store and as much as $75 or more on fuel. So the math on membership of the program versus savings really works out. It's over, 8x the savings. Or you save 8 times as much as you would pay for the membership. So it's a really exciting area. And as you mentioned, Peter, it's 18 months old, so it's still relatively new. But what we're learning about Walmart Plus members is that they are our most valuable customers. The way that they're shopping is omni. The amount of share of budget that we get from a Walmart Plus member is very high. They tend to spend more money, their shopping behavior changes, where they will spend more money with Walmart across our entire categories, grocery, for instance, consumables and general merchandise once they become members of the program. So it's a strategic focus for us because we think, A, it helps our most valuable customers save time, save money, live better, but then also it helps us introduce and get closer to them and learn more from them and help them meet more of their consumer needs throughout everything from grocery to general merchandise.
Well, Seth, thank you for that. I'm pleased to report that I've been a member of Walmart Plus since day one.
Thank you.
And I can say that you're welcome. And I can also say that the Scan and Go capability has fundamentally transformed my relationship with Walmart. It has dramatically increased Walmart's share of wallet in the Bond household. So I want to remind our audience that today Sri and I are speaking on this special 200th episode with Walmart Chief Revenue Officer, Seth Dallaire.
The Raj did not want to get left behind. So the Raj household also ended up subscribing to Walmart Plus on day one. It was made available. And our favorite is free home delivery, because we take advantage of, even though we live 4 miles from the Walmart, I love that I can drive up to the curb and have it delivered in my vehicle, as well as home delivery for urgent stuff. And it's working to a precision here in California. When I say precision, I mean precision. And because my daughters happen to be in the business of music and entertainment, the Spotify Plus membership is an added bonus for us. And for our audience listening in, we may know one other show that's on Spotify Plus. Do you know what that is, Peter? It's the CPG Guys. So all jokes apart, all kidding apart over here, you know, Walmart Plus, as you clearly indicated, between the gas savings that you can get with the newly announced program, ExxonMobil, the Walmart Murphy partnership, and then the Spotify, as well as the free delivery. You know, this, you're living into the motto of the company, right? Save money, live better, etc. And again, I want to jump a little future forward, right? As you look forward, what's your Walmart Plus strategy for the year ahead? And is there a particular area out of the many areas you could look into where your team is actually leaning in to continue to provide value to customers who are subscribing to Walmart Plus?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sri. And we're really focused in four areas with Walmart Plus this year. The first is one area that you mentioned is delivery. And that's really the core experience, and the core benefit is around delivery savings. And making sure that we nail that for members is really important. So as we see more and more people electing to begin a trip occasion or a grocery shopping occasion online, whether they're doing pickup or having that basket delivered, that experience is, nailing that experience is really important, especially when that's the core benefit of the program. So we're going to work to continue to be great at that, whether you're driving to the store to pick up or whether you're electing to have us deliver the groceries to your doorstep. Like, it's really important that we nail that experience for the customer. And then we want to make sure that we're also understanding our members' needs and what drives their shopping behavior so that we can serve them better. So, like, we know that when you're a member, you're logged in, we can get a really rich signal of the types of categories that you're shopping for and the types of occasions for which you're shopping. And then we can help learn from those experiences or from those signals to help make things better for you. It could be that the assortment that we're providing is greater. So how is it that we're earning not only the grocery shop occasion, but we're also earning and winning that sort of asynchronous general merchandise occasion? So, you know, for many people who are members, we see very strong adoption of our online pickup and delivery service. And then we're using that, if that's the primary occasion, like, how is it that we bring you into some of our other general merchandise categories, and which would look more similar to the way that you might shop the physical store? So that would be one example. But then also in store. So Peter, you had mentioned Scan and Go being important. Like, how is it that there's real utility for a member when they're in the store, if that's how they're preferring to shop? So what do we do to help make that in-store shopping experience better for the consumer? And then what can we learn about it? There's a whole host of rich data that we could learn about the customer experience in store, and really, and how to improve it and make it easier for them to buy and easier for them to save money and save time, so that they're not standing in line, or that we can expedite the checkout experience there. Those things are really important to the consumer experience. And then third, we want to bring membership to life in the store. So Walmart Plus and membership may be have a heavy reliance on digital in terms of the way that you generate or begin your shopping occasion for groceries, for instance. But as I just mentioned, so many of our customers shop in the store, and so many of their shopping occasions still occur in the physical store itself. And we know that we have, you know, over 1 million associates in the U.S. who are in the store that can help educate the customers who aren't yet part of the membership program, like why they should become members. So having them explain, you know, the fuel benefits and ways that customers could save money if they don't already understand that that benefit is available. Those things in this economic time are really important in ways that Walmart shows up for customers. So customers rely on us for everyday low pricing. They expect those things when they come in the store. If there are other benefits that they could access by being a Walmart Plus member that would help them save even more money or you know, make their lives better, then we want our associates to be able to bring that to life in the store where we may see them most frequently or more frequently than we would online. And then lastly, we want to continue to improve the program in terms of the types of benefits that we're bringing forward for members. So you mentioned Spotify benefit, the fuel benefit we just talked about with ExxonMobil. There are a whole host of different benefits that we're considering both in store and with third parties that would make membership program or the benefits of the membership program much, much greater. And we're going to continue to add those benefits into the program and learn from members about what benefits are most valuable to them so that we can improve that relationship that we have with them and ultimately help them save more money and live better. The fun thing about working at Walmart is that with this particular program, those benefits could be things that are rooted very deeply in the physical store experience. There might be something about that experience that if it was reserved for a member, would be really transformative and help improve the customer experience. And then there's a whole host of third-party benefits that would be potentially nice-to-haves that would make the program and staying in the program and renewing the program so much more attractive. So we're going to explore both of those vectors as we move through the year.
Before we continue with this special 200th episode, a brief message about Next Up. Next Up is a growing community of over 14,000 professionals representing nearly 900 organizations across North America, all devoted to advancing women in business. On Tuesday, May 24th, you can attend Lifting While You Climb, Leading with Authenticity and Inclusivity at 4 p.m. Pacific. Hear from Blair Hervé as she explores how developing your core is monumental in assuring you are aligned with the career path you desire while remaining committed to elevating others. Attendees will walk away inspired with new learnings. Visit nextupisnow.org/events to register. And of course, for more information on how to get involved with Next Up, just visit nextupisnow.org/CPGguys. And don't forget to tune in to the Advancing All Women podcast on Voice America, hosted by Next Up President and CEO Sarah Alter. Listen every Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel with rebroadcasts weekly on the Voice America Influencer Channel. And download episodes after they air wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, visit nextupisnow.org/CPGguys to learn more about becoming a member of Next Up. And now, back to the episode already in progress.
You know, there were two key words there, Peter, that really hit the spot for me right there. One was listening to Seth say, hey, we're looking at other areas, right? We'll wait to see what those are. But, you know, in the constant optimization world here of, you know, wanting more and more and more from a consumer perspective, it's great to hear that you're looking at new areas. And the other one is there's, of course, new areas, but there's also making existing ones better. And you also use the word you're trying to learn on what people are deriving from the existing benefits and trying to make it better. So it's a combination of both.
Yeah, we can't stand still. So we can't have the benefits just remain static. You know, we interact with so many of our customers' lives on a daily basis. There are going to be many learnings that we can take about, you know, from those experiences and those interactions that can help improve the experience that everyone across Walmart internally that I work with, my peer group, is very eager to learn about and understand so that we, you know, continue to serve the customer. I mean, particularly in this economic environment, like having some type of savings, like the fuel benefit, like those things matter right now. And they may not have availed themselves to us 2 years ago, were we not in these types of economic times. So we're going to continue to iterate the program and the benefits that we bring forward to members of the program.
It's undeniable that at the forefront of what we call the great retail reset that's transforming our industry is the explosive growth of retail media, both on-site and off-site, both online and in the physical world and stores. So at its core, what do you see as the value proposition that Walmart Connect offers to vendors looking to grow sales through Walmart platforms?
This one is the area where I have the most experience career-wise, and it was really what got me most excited about coming over to Walmart. Walmart Connect has the ability to provide first-party data, observations that we see and observe ourselves in a closed loop in the .com and then extending into omnichannel. And that type of data and that those observations can help marketers get smarter about the merchandising that they put into our stores, whether they're physical or digital, and ultimately help them drive conversion and sell more stuff. And at the scale that we have in both the physical stores and .com, it's really difficult to match. And we, like any investments that we're making in improving those types of capabilities that we bring forward to a supplier about where they can promote their products or where they can, speak to one of our customers. To me, that's super exciting because we really historically, at least in my observation, this is some editorial, have maybe not invested as heavily in that capability relative to other e-com platforms and other retailers. And so the past 18 months really have been transformative over here in terms of the investments that the company's put into those capabilities and really the results as well. And so I'm excited to come over here and continue to build on that momentum and to bring a whole bunch of experiences from other places and other experiences that I've had that can help innovate and drive and bring even more opportunity to suppliers and brands, both in e-com and in physical retail. So that's super exciting to me. We have a lot of work to do in order to meet the potential. And when we speak with suppliers, they're very open about the things that they want from us. We want more of X, or we want more of Y, or we wish that you would do these things for us, or these, if you were able to provide these types of capabilities, this would be a big unlock for us in terms of our business. And we're listening to that feedback from suppliers and from their agents. And we're actually making a lot of progress in terms of the capabilities that we're bringing forward. So that's my kind of preamble to Connect, Peter. I'm super excited about it. And even in the 6 months that I've been in the role, we've seen a tremendous amount of progress from the teams that were both on the engineering side and on the supplier or advertiser facing side as well.
Thank you for the preamble in that case, Seth. And I want to jump a little bit into the mobile app. You know, recent research shared by Walmart Connect, your team, talked about the use of Walmart's mobile app in the physical store visits, highlighting it as an important correlation between digital engagement and physical shopping. Can you throw some more light on how this is coming together as omnichannel shipping, the use of the app in-store while browsing, resulting in a physical lower funnel activation for a brand? And any findings you are aware of from this research you know of?
I guess I'll start by saying, at Walmart, we know that the majority of our customers shop both online and in store. It's what makes Walmart unique, in addition to its scale, is that we can meet the customer, whether she wants to shop in the store or shop on her phone or on her laptop. And those are the customers that shop with us in those, in both environments are most valuable. And so we recently conducted research to learn more about them and then to understand maybe how they're utilizing Walmart capabilities, digital capabilities on their phone in our app when they're shopping in the store, in particular in the food and beverage categories where we have a lot of interest from our consumers, a very strong position in terms of online grocery. And we found that 82% of Walmart customers surveyed use our site or app while shopping for food or beverage items in the store. And that number was surprisingly high. The tasks that they're performing when they're in the store and on their or in the app in the store is that they're looking for new products. They may be reading reviews or looking at a price, trying to understand how much money they would be saving. And so that in itself is interesting, is an observation of customer behavior. But what we also found was that they aren't just doing this like once. This isn't sort of a asynchronous behavior that they're just doing it, you know, once on one particular product or one particular beverage item while they're in the store. They're doing it 2 to 4 times on average per trip. So they're trying to understand, is this the right product for me, for my family, the right ingredient profile, the right price? And this is really valuable for us because that transaction may not show up in the app if the item is right in front of the consumer when she's in the store. She will just put it in her basket and she'll ring it up in the store. So that the amount of influence that the content within the app can have on the customer experience in the store was really eye-opening and is a great validation of the investments that we're putting into the shopping app. The ways that brands can interact with the customer then in those environments when they're checking, that opens up a whole host of new opportunity as well. And that's really what the Connect team is bringing forward to suppliers and to marketers and agencies, is to help them understand, well, if this is how the customer is behaving in the store with the app, and it's informing their in-store sort of physical store purchases, like how does a brand activate or speak to the customer in that environment? Like, what are the areas where the customer is going? Are they going? Are they searching for these products? In which case, you need to be really strong in terms of your paid and your organic listings within our store. Is it browse activity that they're looking at, or is there something in the purchase funnel that would get them to take an action either in the app or in the store? Are you giving like the type of content on your product detail page? Is it up to date? Do you have the right ingredient information or the right? Are you competitively priced? Like all of these things matter. And they're, I guess at this point, they're well understood data points for brands that are operating in e-commerce environments. They know they have to have good content. They know they have to have competitive pricing. What we're learning is that while all those things are really important for the e-com transaction, they're also highly influential on physical in-store shopping behaviors as well. So if you don't have assortment in the app, but you have it on the shelf, those are the types of gaps or things that might avail themselves to us when we're looking at this research tree, and maybe ways that we help suppliers sort of address how to speak with customers more effectively.
Seth, let's close out our exploration of Walmart Connect. And indeed, this will be our final question for this episode. And this is around how brands are able to access the use of Walmart Connect's powerful retail media solutions on-site, off-site, and in physical retail. Is it entirely through your own proprietary platforms, or are they able to use, say, third-party e-commerce advertising platforms for some or all of your offerings?
That's a great question. So, and it it depends on the product. So with our search products, you come to us for working in those environments, and we've been investing heavily in a team, both in terms of our customer or advertiser customer facing teams within Connect, but then also on the engineering and product side to make sure that we're continuing to ship new capability through our paid search offering. And all of that is done in-house. So you come to us and we'll work with you, or we will work with the supplier's agents to help them get set up, to help them understand how to do as much business as they can with us in that search product area. Then in the display product area, we have on-site display, graphical display products that we will sell directly to suppliers. But then we're also working with a third party, with the Trade Desk, to help the suppliers or marketers understand what signals they can use from Walmart customer behaviors on third-party inventory. And that partnership was launched just prior to me showing up. And we have had a ton of interest from brands who want to speak with Walmart customers while they're in the Walmart shopping environment, but then also they're very adept at using signals, shopping behaviors in third party, maybe not retail contextually, like store environments, but on other third party content sites in order to speak to those customers, certainly for higher consideration purposes or for mid or upper funnel marketing objectives, and speaking to them outside of the walls of the store and in other type of content, and then bringing them back into a retail environment. So the Trade Desk has been a great partner there. We're continuing to develop our capabilities with them. We've had some very specific feedback from very sophisticated users of programmatic display who are also providing us with counsel and helping us understand how to help them be more successful with this offering. So that would be a third party partner with whom we're working and partnering to help bring all of the sort of scale of our customer signals that we see to bear on a whole host of content outside of our digital boundary of our store.
I'd like to remind our audience that all of our content, now 200 episodes strong, available on over 40 different podcasting platforms, links to our social media accounts, our LinkedIn profiles, and so much more. It's all free, and it's available by just visiting cpgguys.com. And of course, if you think you have something to contribute to the conversation, boy, did we get some contribution today, Sri. But if you're in the audience and you think you or your company has something to say about this conversation we're having, just drop us an email at contact@cpgguys.com, and maybe you can join us for a future episode. You know, Seth, Sri and I are incredibly grateful that you took time out to speak with us again, to share with us all the tremendous things that are going on at Walmart. And it is such a great honor to have you with us today. And maybe we'll have you back for episode 400, probably sooner than that. But you know, if we say we're going to stay together, I think Sri, we can make it another 200. But anyhow, thanks for joining us, Seth. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you both for having me. It's been a pleasure. And we have a lot of things going on at Walmart. We're making a ton of investment over here in terms of retail media membership and the data and the way that we engage with both marketers and suppliers. And it's really exciting stuff. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak with your listeners about it.
Hey, Sri, I'm going to ask you to summarize in a second, but I particularly want you to cover a number of things. What I heard that was new to me, first of all, customer perceptions, right? Behavior-based targeting for attitudinal information. That is a shopper insights professional's dream, right? As opposed to stated behavior, actual behavior driving the why behind the what. Really powerful. And of course, you know, focusing on having digital improve the in-store customer experience, really powerful conversations there. Really excited about it. What were your big takeaways?
You know, when Seth started with the what, why, where, like, I think the episode had already laid itself a pretty good framework for what we were going to discuss. I love that we also looked future forward, that there are more things coming in the future, depending on how, of course, the economy evolves, I'm sure. Plus, the fact that there are three distinct benefits today, and one of them is actually very relevant in today's times of high gas prices, and then the Spotify Plus, the free delivery without a order constraint, things of that nature. But I also like that when you go future forward, this is so much more about Walmart's motto and mission, which is save money, live better. And everything at the end of the day, no matter what's done, comes back to, can people save money? Can, as a result, when they save money, they can live better lives. That, to me, the motto and mission has remained the same for a long time, and it continues to be. And then we talked a lot about the app as well, right? How today's shopper is 360. And Seth gave the number of 82% are browsing before making a purchase decision. If you're in the digital marketing space, on the e-commerce space, you've waited for this moment. 82% of your purchase occasions are influenced by somebody whipping out an app, a customer, and actually browsing before buying. This is your heyday, folks. If you're in this space, make your heyday count. Partner, leverage, use Luminate, sign up for Walmart Plus yourself, but this is your moment. And then Seth answered the all-important question, who can get access to Luminate? If you're a vendor doing business with Walmart, in a certain category, you can get access, and you can get all products, which means that all elusive share metric, if you're up for it, you can actually chase it. What can get better than that? You know, Peter, you and me come with a rich data background from our IRI days. You know the importance of actually getting a share metric, that too, in Walmart. Net-net, am I glad, Seth, that you were kind enough to make time, and I want to thank Walmart Comms and Beth for the time she made as well, to ensure that we could actually do this timely work around dates, times. All in all, this is one blockbuster episode. I can't wait for the audience to listen to it, Peter, and to 300 more episodes. You said 400, I said 500. You know, our kids have a long way to go to grow up, so let's not get impatient over here. There's many more episodes to come.
Yeah, that is just great. I'll echo your comment. Walmart Comms has been tremendous. The partnership with Beth Bruce and some of the other colleagues in that group in helping feature a lot of great Walmart guests on this podcast. We couldn't be more grateful for that. So thank you. And Sri, personally, I'll say, you know, we tease each other about a lot of things, but I'm so honored that we've been on this journey together. I'll sign up for a couple hundred more if you're into it. This has just been terrific.
Man, he keeps coming back to a couple hundred. I said 300 more. 500 is the magic number. We're in for the kids, and they got a while to go. Convince yourself. 500.
Okay. Well, all right, Sri, I'm good with that. And to our audience, thank you for joining us on this journey, 200 episodes strong. It was great. We look forward to you joining us on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.